Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And now that Republicans have won a symbolic vote on repealing health care, what parts of the health care law will they try to overturn? We're going to have more in a few minutes. But first, some lawmakers are also demanding an investigation into a decades-old Social Security benefit program that they say creates incentives for poor parents to put their children on psychiatric drugs in order to get cash help. And some of the parents agree. They say they resent what they see as a push to drug kids in order to get financial aid for their behavioral problems. But these parents also say they think there are parents who put healthy kids on drugs just to get a monthly check, which at around $600 a month is often half the family income. Boston mom Geneva Fielding says her two children had severe behavioral problems. She didn't put them on meds, and they were rejected for SSI benefits. She then reluctantly put her youngest son on medication and quickly began receiving $517 monthly SSI checks along with extra Medicaid coverage.
I've always heard about SSI even as a little girl. It's like welfare. It's the way to get money. It's the way to survive.
Let's spend a little time here today with Patricia Nguyen. She's the Boston Globe reporter who tells the story of families on SSI. Patty, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us more about Mrs. Fielding. Let's be clear. We mentioned that there are parents who put their kids on drugs just to get money. She is not one of them. She really resisted this, but she was hearing from, what, even teachers that this would be a way to get help?
Well, the teachers had felt that the drugs would be good for her son, but then what she found was when she actually did put her son on the medication and then she put in the SSI application, it went through very quickly, unlike the applications for her two older boys who were not on medications and those were not approved. So to her mind, this confirmed sort of a street wisdom that she had heard, which is that in order to get on SSI for mental or behavioral issues, your child had to be on medications.
And be clear, is there a requirement? You know, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be filled out. Does it say anywhere that there's a requirement for medications?
No, there is no explicit requirement that the child be on medication, no. And SSI officials will say, absolutely, there is no requirement. But the message, indirectly, families get that sense because you have to prove the severity of your behavioral or mental disorder. You can't just have like a fleeting case of anxiety. And so the medical evidence is the kind of evidence they weigh most heavily. So the message comes through to many families that, well, it wouldn't be serious if your doctor didn't prescribe medications. So medications becomes a sort of a marker in their minds for severity.
Well, and especially since when it comes to behavioral issues, some are very clear, schizophrenia, for instance, and others aren't. I mean, you talk right to people who said it's kind of easier just to use medication as a marker as opposed to other ways of determining mental health issues.
Right. Well, one of the most surprising things for me was when I did get the data, you can see that ADHD is very high and growing. And as people, I'm sure many of us know people who have ADHD, you know, it's very hard to measure what is a severe case of ADHD, what's moderate, what's minor. Lots of these various issues can be subjective. Learning disorders, it can be subjective. Who has a severe case? Who just has a moderate case? And realize that the hurdle that you have to get over to get benefits is it has to be labeled severe in the minds of Social Security.
Well, let's have a little history here. You remind us that it was President Richard Nixon who called for a minimum income for the poor. This was rejected, but then the SSI program was instituted kind of, you know, instead of that idea. And it was supposed to be for the elderly, the blind, disabled adults. Children were something of a footnote, but they were supposed to be, as you've said, severely disabled or have a life-threatening illness like cancer. And the money that they got in these benefit checks was to help them pay for wheelchairs or cab rides. What happened? How did it broaden out to behavioral issues?
Well, you know, this is it's fascinating because in the beginning, yeah, it was for children. The categories of disorders were largely cerebral palsy, blindness, the kind of things that, for example, if a parent were taking care of such a kid, maybe they couldn't get work. They would have to stay home. That was the thinking behind the supplemental security income, which is what SSI stands for. But over the years, just as we can see in society, you know, all through the 80s, you know, early 90s, you have a proliferation of diagnosis for children for behavioral and mental issues. You know, ADHD in the, you know, early 70s, people didn't hear about that much for kids. So on some level, in the medical community, there's a desire and a good desire to intervene early with children, identify problems early, try to get in there and help them, say speech delay too. These are all obviously good intentions. But what happens then is that those medical kinds of expanding definitions and labels, in a sense, too, sort of got into this whole disability assessment world, and then SSI has become sort of a reflection of that.
Well, and yet you talk to mental health advocates who say this is a victory for poor families because there are families who desperately need help with, especially boys who have behavior issues or who are unmanageable. So this is a victory for them that they're getting these benefits. But then you also talked to Social Security officials like David Rust, who said that he worries this is creating a psychology of disability, because what happens when families start getting this check?
Right. Well, see, when a child qualifies for SSI, two big things happen. One, they get near automatic Medicaid coverage. Obviously, there's a lot of good in that. So a child, if you have a speech delay, you have depression, you have bipolar, ADHD, you're going to get the therapy, the medical visits, the medications if that is necessary. It is covered. But the other issue is that you also get up to $700 a month in cash benefits. This is no strings attached. You can use the $700 to pay rent. You can use it to buy groceries. You can use it to pay your car insurance, anything that is sort of, you know, broadly related to the family and the child. So that is where some people have felt is the troubling incentive, because what happens is that for most of these families, that $700 a month is half their family income. So you can understand both the incentive to have a child with an SSI qualifying disability. And then you can also see the incentive to maintain that status because the family really needs that money. And that led to the aspect of teenagers, which is one of the things I found most troubling, is that these teenagers, I mean, you know, many teenagers, it's great. You get a part-time job at Burger King. You get a part-time job as a lifeguard. If you have ADHD, no reason you can't get lots of jobs. But their income would be counted against their SSI check, may even jeopardize their SSI check. And so teenagers on SSI were often sort of discouraged from their families to work.
Or they just felt the burden knowing that they were providing half the family's income with these checks. 21-year-old Chris Long spoke to you. He'd been on medication for depression since 16. And he said he and his mom really depend on that check.
It's pretty much like a trap. It's very difficult to get off of it and stay off of it when you've been as long as I have been on it. Depending on that check every month, it wears you down.
Well, Patty, and this raises another disturbing question. A lot of people you spoke to seem to have children with real behavioral problems and they might need extra help. But people within the system also said to you that this seemed like a move that we see across medicine to push meds instead of things like therapy. Poor families don't have the time or the money to put their kids on buses and go see therapists, but they also have started to learn that that, you know, therapy isn't taken as seriously as medication and won't get them the help they need. So there were questions there. But I guess the big question is, how many kids do you think are being put on medication, these serious medications, that don't need medication?
You know, that's obviously a huge, huge question. Statistically, there are more children who are poor are put on these kind of behavioral or psychiatric medications at a higher rate than, say, children from more well-to-do families.
And by the way, I'm going to jump in to say another statistic is that of the children on these SSI benefits, pretty much 50% are white and 50% black.
Right. It's a cross-section of the poor in that sense.
But how many are being medicated with serious, often psychotropic drugs that don't need it?
Well, this is hard to say. There's no question that there are people that I spoke to, people who are therapists, social workers, psychiatrists in the field, who do feel that to some degree, Medicaid, the insurance forces, the financial forces of the world, including these families who are looking for sometimes a quick fix. I mean, sometimes the motivation comes from the parents, like they want a drug to, you know, get Johnny to settle down fast. And they don't have the wherewithal necessarily to do the kind of therapeutic interventions that take more time. It's really hard to say exactly why. I also don't want to sound completely, you know, anti-medicine. I mean, sometimes medicine is the best way. Sometimes that in conjunction with therapy would be the best thing for many kids. You know what it is? I just think that when it comes to the poor, part of the bad part of being poor is that they have fewer choices. And, you know, people who have more money, they may be able to say, okay, I can take more time off. I can drive my kid to do this. I'm going to think through all the options. I don't know whether the fact that you see more kids on medications, is it the doctors are looking for shortcuts? The families are looking for shortcuts? It's just a conspiracy of a lot of events. Maybe there's just also more mental illness and stress among the poor children. Yeah. That's possible too.
If you just joined us, that's Patricia Wen, Boston Globe reporter who investigated the SSI benefit. Now, it was supposed to be for severely disabled kids, but parents are using it for kids with milder but troubling behavior disorders. And most troubling, many are feeling they have to put their kids on meds to get the benefit. And Patty, you began investigating the program after the most extreme case. This was parents in Massachusetts who were convicted last year of recklessly killing their 4-year-old daughter with ADHD medication. It turns out they had exaggerated all their kids' behavior. They were literally living off these SSI checks. That's rare and extreme. But you did meet nurses who told you that they tried to tell parents that the child is better and can go off meds and therefore off the disability checks, and the parents are outraged. On the other hand, you heard from experts sympathetic to families who need to have this income. They've been cut from welfare rolls. So what do you see happening now that lawmakers want this SSI benefit review? Do you think it's going to be a course correction, or are there going to be families thrown out on the street because they don't have this income, or kids pulled off meds who really need the meds?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting. Congressman Richard Neal, as well as Senator Brown, have called for hearings on this. And I think that what they're trying to do now is just gather all the evidence. Obviously, this has the potential echoes of welfare reform in the sense that you're going to have people who say, oh, this is a cash benefit that is desperately needed by the poor. I think the controversial part will be the cash benefits. And I think that what you have here is families when, you know, welfare to some people's mind may not be enough. And this has become, as the series is titled, The Other Welfare. And I think what the series hopefully did is at least put out there to people, well, look, you know, welfare reform was one thing, but you didn't realize that since 1996, there's been this kind of alternative welfare system that has evolved, and that the way that families, many families, feel that they can get it is that they need to have this disability label. And that's obviously troubling in many ways when it comes to the fact that this affects the lives of children. But that's not to say that many of these families aren't very poor and can really use the money. So this is a very sensitive debate as to, I think, where this cash benefit fits into the whole picture.
Patricia Wen of the Boston Globe. You can see her extraordinary series at hereandnow.org. Patricia, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts about the SSI benefits for disabled kids, especially if you've had experience with them as a parent, a worker, or a young person. Go to hereandnow.org. Love to hear from you. Back in a minute, Here and Now.